sarcastically speaking about stuff. Ooh, it might stick. That one might have stuck. That one stuck. I stuck the landing on that one. Changed the name to my podcast a couple weeks ago. Unofficially did. Haven't done it on all the websites and letterheads and TV listings and podcast listing because hadn't stuck. Because sarcastically speaking about sports, but obviously you can't sarcastically speak about something that's not fucking going on. Nothing going on in sports. Ain't nothing going on but the rent, motherfucker. Yeah. Nothing going on. Yeah, there isn't. You know, there's talk. There's talk going on. Fucking ESPN. I'm surprised they still have a fucking channel. Well, tons of programming. Tons of talking heads. And it seems like every program is, they're just throwing down topics and arguing about them. Doing the best they can. The NFL draft, I think it comes up this weekend. And like I've told most people, I'm not really that excited about it. Usually it's like the beginning of when you're like, oh, fuck yes. NBA motherfucking draft. That's the beginning. And the draft, and then you wait for it, and then OTAs, and then fucking mini camp, and then, you know, all the camps, and then preseason, and then football. When there's none of that shit right now. COVID done taking care of all of that. I mean, I'm pretty sure the NBA is, you stick a fork in that season, it's over. There's no reclamating that season. That shit's done. Done. I mean, what sports could you possibly be able to reclamate a season for them? See, Mark of the Dog, and he's going to do that thing where he shits in someone's yard right there in front of him. And I can't do my patented walk away like I never saw him. Maybe tennis could come back. You could do golf tournaments. I don't know about baseball. It's the close combined, like, when we're all huddled in masses that are going to be interesting. Interesting in the fact that this shit, like, I mean, right now, I'm out walking around and I don't have a fucking mask on. Technically, I should be wearing a mask while I'm out walking, but I'm practicing social distancing. You don't practice that shit, you just do it. Love the smell of a campfire. I don't know what sports, like, because you figure once it comes back, like, you go to a basketball game, and I wonder if, like, the first basketball game, like, the first game my wife drags me to, the first Sacramento Kings game she drags me to, how many people are going to be in the audience with face masks? How many aren't? That's a question I'm posing right now. And I think that, like, legitimately, they're going to have to slowly but surely just bring things back. You're not going to be able to just say, all right, everything opens up tomorrow. You're not going to be able to do that. That's just not the way this whole situation works. Look at that. Honda Civic. I had one like that. I had that car. But it's not going to work like that. It's going to be a gradual. Like, I think the last time, last week when I was laying this down, I was talking about coming home from work. It was like the weekend. And I saw lots of people tugging lots of boats on the freeway. I'm like, where the fuck do they think they're going? Can't get on the lakes. Well, apparently they've opened the boat launches. Okay, in Florida they've opened the beaches. Some areas are slowly but surely opening shit up, and that's how they're gonna have to do it, man. There's not just gonna be one day where they're gonna be like, all right, now, and everybody's sprinting to whatever the fuck they're sprinting to. It's not gonna work that way. Whatever day is decreed, the day to where things are back to somewhat normal. You think it's gonna be a new holiday? Is it gonna be remembered like 9/11? There's going to be some type of remembrance for this shit. There definitely is. There has to be. Yeah, see? Dick. I gotta pick that up now. Does it right there. Or maybe not. Or maybe not. I think that's the fucking intro. Hit it. Dude, I'm considering when things do go back to somewhat normal, basically when I can start frequenting open mics, I'm thinking about going with my name, Brian Anthony Hunter. What do you think? When I say it, I'm like, nah, I think I kind of like the fact that I have an alter ego. Because that's what my comedian, that's what it is, he's my alter ego. I don't think I am the same person off stage as I am on. I think I need to harness that or, you know, own that. Whatever I do up on the stage is on the stage. Maybe it's a way of, like, distancing myself. And I want to, and one thing that I think I really want to do is I want to be fearlessly funny. I want to try shit. I want to be right on the edge and deal with it, man. It's the only way I'm going to make any type of legitimate comedy. So I think it's the only way to work with taking fucking chances. You know, it's not always going to be good. You know, I kept saying that I wanted to eventually just retire all my old material that I've been doing for 10 years. But right, with this going on, I'm not retiring shit. I feel bad for the folks that comedy is their livelihood, because I tell you what, man, again, like I said earlier in the open, it's going to be a while before people trust, get back into the mix of things, you know? So what's the big news? What's the big fucking news? Well, TB12 went to, what was it, Tampa Bay? Yeah. I mean, he's basically there letting them know. He's calling all the shots. He's like, look, I want all the money. I want this player, this player, this player. Those uniforms, get rid of them. Apparently staying at A-Rod's mansion. And this just in, the Patriots trade the rights to Gronkowski. I'm like, wait a minute. You see it pop up on your phone as a notification. Yeah, Patriots, have picked up the rights for Ron Gronkowski. Last time we saw that guy, he was, didn't he win some belt in the WWE or some shit? I thought he did. How's it going, man? Boy, there's a lot of people out today, huh? Yeah, I thought he did. Well, I guess he took a look at things and was like, you know what, check this shit out. I've decided I'm gonna, since TB12 is coming out of retirement, well, not coming out of retirement, going over to Tampa Bay and calling his fucking shot, might as well come out of retirement. But that guy, like, his body was pretty fucked. I mean, he retired because, well, number one, he retired, I think, because his body, yeah, it was breaking down. He was hurt all the time. Number two, they were getting ready to start trading. They were gonna trade his ass. Belichick was about to do to Belichick. You know what the Belichick is? He has a player. He squeezed out every bit of usefulness, every bit of your football playing prowess. And about 2 to 3 years before you have nothing left, he trades you. Gets him some more assets. He flips you. Like a house. That's been his move. Well, Gronk was like, go fuck yourself. If you try to trade me, I'll retire. And apparently where it is they tried to trade him to... Where did they try to trade him? Tried to trade him to Detroit. He was an old defensive coordinator, now losing head coach, Matt Patricia. He of the dude that has the hat on, and he's always got that pencil stuck up behind his ear, but does he have a clipboard? Does anybody even write anymore? I know kids don't even fucking do cursive anymore. Or even practice penmanship. Well, right now, kids aren't practicing shit because they're at home. Yeah, but Gronk, coming back, and you're like, wow. So it's like that? You can make, I mean, I think that they've already even said that, like, they've installed, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with TB12 at the helm as a Super Bowl favorite. Well, I got news for you. Nobody's a Super Bowl favorite because there's no freaking Super Bowl going to happen. Nah. That shit ain't happening. I think if any seasons do commence, they're going to, it's going to be shortened, or they're going to have to be some way they're going to have to be modified for them to figure this shit out, because everything's out of whack because of COVID. And I got to say, I'm to the point to where now I'm getting a little tired of this shelter at home nonsense myself. Basically, you know, you're tired of your family. Yeah, I kind of am. Kind of seeing them, talking to them, hearing them. I want them to go away so that I can miss them. Yes. Yeah. So there's that. I'm really, really curious to see who's going to be more successful, Brady or Belichick. I want Belichick to be more successful so that he shows that it was coaching. But then there's a part of me that would think it'd be more entertaining to see Brady succeed. They better do something about an offensive line there, because when he played for the Patriots, man, dude, that dude was always standing tall in the pocket with tons of time to throw the ball. When they played Denver in that AFC Championship game, and Denver's defense pinned their ear back, and they were hitting that motherfucker, and it was like he didn't even know, what is this, ground? I don't know what this is. Good morning. I don't know, ground? I don't get hit. I don't get tackled. What is this? I think that was the Rio we went on last, when Super Bowl 50 against Cam Newton. Which, can somebody tell me why no one has picked up Cam Newton? Why hasn't anybody picked this dude up? I mean, dude, he's at least a backup quarterback. At least. Him or Jameis Winston. No one's fucking with them two. Or maybe they're waiting until after the draft. See what they can get there. Then make the maneuvers. Make whatever maneuvers are going to. You just took a shit 2 seconds ago. Man. You poop a lot. You know that? A whole hell of a lot. Maybe that's their move. They're just going to wait and see. Maybe that's a good move. Maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. I know this. I've been watching a lot of TV, and I've watched a couple of things. I mean, we've all been watching the Michael Jordan thing, but I'll get to that in a second. quarterbacks, apparently, who is it? Lamar Jackson has been announced to be the cover boy of the upcoming Madden. To which I'm like, if there's not an NFL season, how can you release an edition of Madden? Because they can, and because we'll buy it. That's how, Brian. It's funny because, you know, you got Lamar Miller on the cover. And I watched, I watched a 30 for 30 of the Vic two-parter, which was really, really good. Really good. In that, you got a, what is it, 37, 38-year-old Michael Vick, basically, you know, just answering the questions and being forthright and humble and not putting on airs. And I remember, first memory of him was, me seeing him was in the national championship game against the Florida State Seminoles. You're looking at this rookie quarterback who's I mean, dude, he ran the ball. He ran the ball and threw it. I mean, dude, he put on a show. He had like something like 300 yards passing, 200 yards rushing. I mean, they ended up losing by a point. But after that game, people were like, oh, shit. Michael Vick. Motherfucker stays another season. Doesn't have as good of a season. And then comes out and comes in the NFL and, you know, the rest is history. But, like, I knew that his background. I knew that he came from a pretty rough area. Wasn't sure. Because, you know, they have this little childhood friend that's in the interview. Qantas, I think the kid's name was. And he's giving the interview. And, man, you want to talk about a picture of being shot out, man. His teeth are all banged up. I think he was missing one. His eyes were all gaunt and yellow. Like he had jaundice. I mean, it was almost like once he popped off the Michael Vick gravy train, life wasn't as good because dude, that dude didn't do it. He was just his friend. He was his friend. So he was an integral part of Michael Vick's posse who he had rolling around with him, which, dude, you get these dudes who come from nothing. Yeah, they come from nothing. And then all of a sudden, through athletics, they're multimillionaires. So they don't want to be that dude that forgot about where they came from. And that was Vick, man. That's what he talked about. And he's like, look, hey, if I prosper, I want everyone to prosper. So this dude's basically, I mean, he's paying for everybody's shit. He's doing it a la MC Hammer, burning through all his money. I mean, dude, like that was the scene where who was it? His money guy's like, he didn't even know how much he made. Didn't even know how much was in the bank. He's just living. Buying cars and mansions for people. It's like, dude, that money is not going to last forever. But again, he never, not once, throughout that whole piece, he didn't ever really come across as an arrogant douchebag to me. And the thing now is if you bring his name up to anybody, whether they follow football or not, the first thing that's going to come out of their mouth is Michael Vick. Oh, yeah, that's that asshole dog fighter dude. That's who that is. And you've had people that are like, yeah, don't even talk to him. Fuck that guy. And, dude, hey, I had even said even before I even watched that documentary that, hey, dude, the guy he got convicted, did his time, came out, started working for the National Humane Society, apologized, and people are still, it's like, you know what, man? Uh-uh. You can't, this ain't double jeopardy, nigga. I don't know if that's what it is, but you can't keep beating him over the head for what he's already, you know, he gave 2 years of his life and basically lost everything. So fuck you, man. Get over it. But I will say this, let's flip the coin, because I remember when it all came out, that's what I felt, but now, it's the dogs, it's the truth, man, people will flip out on you way more if you fuck with a dog as opposed to a person. Oh, yeah, so with me, got in this relationship with my wife. She's got Xena, a Cocker Spaniel, easiest dog in the world. Then we get Keiko, my first puppy that I had. Loved her. She died. I was a mess. And now we got this dickhead here, Flynn, who, oh, man, love this dude. But when I'm watching the video and they're talking, they're showing the dog fighting, and, dude, yeah, that bugged the shit out of me now. And I'll say it, too. It's because I'm more in-depth, more entrenched in dogs. So I can kind of see why people can hold on to that. I'm not going to, because like they said, he grew up, you know, in the projects, and people would be dogfighting and cops would just kind of walk by. They saw it. They didn't really. So to them, it was kind of one of those things where, yeah, it's bad, but it's not that big of a deal. So I get that thought process, but I also get like the fact that like he's convicted and he owned up to it and accepted it was Leavenworth for like, what's it, 2 years? 2 years, gets out, does all this work, goes to Tagliabue, Tony Dungy's his mentor, gets back into football, comes all the way back. I remember that game. It was the Eagles, and it was against the Was it the Redskins? Yeah. He put, it was like, he's back. And, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, he leaves them. I think he ended up signing a $100 million contract. The dude pays off all his creditors. Dude, that's the other thing that I was beyond impressed with. The fact that, like, he had to file bankruptcy, and he was just going to, he could have filed just Chapter 7, just wiped everything clean, be like, put a big finger up to everybody. Hey, look, I don't got it. Chapter 7, starting over. He's like, nah, I don't want to do that. I made all these bills, so I'm going to pay all these bills. And his wife's like, what the fuck are you doing? Dude, that right there, that shows some fucking character on his part, man. Because you don't want to know something? Your boy, B.A. Hunter, oh yeah, I filed a bankruptcy and I wiped all that shit clean. I didn't have no $100 million of debt. And then, like, I mean, how he gets convicted. I mean, they've got that party house, and he's got everyone coming through like a dorm, and then they built all them kennels. I'm not saying he didn't do it, but of course he knew about it or whatever, and didn't do it, but his name was on everything. And, yeah, he learned. Oh, yeah, you're going to learn today. He learned that day. But all came full circle. I don't know if it came full circle. Yeah, it did, because he's in jail. The Falcons that have released him. He can see in jail that they drafted, what's his name, Matt. What is it, Matt, God damn it, I can't think of his name. Matt Ryan. He's like, well, and his shit's done. He comes out, he goes to Eagles. Anyway, Eagles, Jets, Steelers, and then retired. Played 13 years. That's above average. But, dude, when he came out, when he was playing with Atlanta, dude, he revolutionized the quarterback position. I mean, you think, like, because for years, they talk about it, the scrambling quarterback. I mean, if you want to look at the ones that are the former, you got Randall Cunningham. He was the beginning. I figured Randall Cunningham, Mike Vick. Would I put Cap in there? Yeah. Well, yeah. And then we have Lamar Jackson, who, hey, man, I ain't afraid to admit I was wrong, but it eventually did come around. When he was chewing the league up at first, I'm like, they're going to catch up to that. We've seen this running quarterback shit. Running quarterbacks sell tickets. They don't win championships. So I'm thinking, like, yeah, it's going to end. It ended in the playoffs against the Titans, that juggernaut fucking team. He ends up losing. I mean, he's still MVP. It's going to be fun to see what happens when he does come out next year. But, yeah, it comes from Vic, man. And so basically what I'm saying is, if you get the chance to check out the 30 for 30 Vic, do yourself a favor and do that shit. Because the shit is awesome. Well worth watching. Watch the first two episodes of The Last Jordan, The Last Dance, the Jordan thing. I've said it, but like, Jordan comes across kind of douchey. So far, the first two episodes, they're okay, but I guess, like, my boy Russ, he's like, I don't need to see that. I know about all this stuff. And to a degree, kind of is right. I don't remember when, like, when Jordan first came, I didn't really remember Jordan. I didn't see a lot of his early stuff. Like, my first memories of him is when he was dominant. Come Fly With Me, that video. But, dude, well, first of all, he's a billionaire and he owns a team. But when they're doing the interviews, he's like, dude, his eyes are like bloodshot. He looks like he looks shot out, kind of. Yeah, he kind of does. I'm wondering when are they gonna interview his wife, his ex-wife, who probably basically got $100 million from the divorce. I wonder. His mom was a Dolores Jordan. She looks exactly the fucking same. And we all know what's up with that. Black don't crack, motherfuckers. Black don't motherfucking crack. Dude, what's wrong with you? Yes, I might have to cut this one short. Because he's over here looking like he's had enough. He hasn't. Not until I see he has. first two episodes were good. Scottie Pippen didn't realize. He was a good player, but yeah, he kind of fucked himself. That's why you got to read the fine print of contracts, man. You can just sign something to get something. Pay attention, man. Get you a manager, an agent, somebody. I mean, you're a professional basketball player, for God's sakes. And that little troll Jerry Krause. I mean, how the fuck are you gonna go? They did one three-peat, then they come back and do another one. And that last year, you let it be known, say, look, after this season, Phil Jackson's not coming back. And Jordan's like, well, Phil's not here, I'm not here. That was basically a staring contest, a pissing match between Krause and Jordan. Because Jordan's like, look, hey, man, look, this is what I want. I mean, and you can say what you want, but, like, he was running shit to some degree. Man, but Krause is like, look, motherfucker, I put this shit together. I need some credit, too. Making comments like, organizations win championships, not players. It's like, man, so this is a dick comparing contest is what it was between them two. Dude, like, if you want greatness sometimes and you're within a group, and I think I learned this without even speaking a word just through life, is that you don't need credit. I wouldn't need credit. I'm getting the big paycheck. My name's on it. I have rings. I'm in history. Fuck credit sometimes. It's overrated. Unless it's your credit score. That's not overrated. You fuck that shit up and you're fucking up your life. You're playing games with your life. Yeah. This dude's already acting like he's tired. Yeah. This is going to be a short walk for him. I'm not doing this. Not today, Satan. Not today. So it was the first two. I think it's going to be a 10-part series that'll end up on Netflix when it's all said and done. Pretty good so far. Another one that I watched, that was the Belichick Parcells 30 for 30. First of all, Bill Belichick didn't realize that motherfucker coached. He's been coaching since like 75. Been all over the league since 75. Which means that, like, he's been perfecting his craft for years, for almost as long as I've been alive. So you can see why the Patriots are where they're at. But it was through years and years of try and fail. Years and years of trying to figure something out, tweaking something here and there. Parcells, or as back in the day I used to call him, the tuna, he doesn't seem so much to me like a great X and O's type of coach. He's a manager of personalities, you know, manager of coaching talent. They're talking about these coaching trees that they have. Who was under his? Probably him, Belichick, Sean Payton. There was another name. Belichick's got a tree too. Romeo Crennel. What? Al, whatever the fuck that guy's name was with the Illinois. Who's the dude in Houston? There's lots of them. The thing about the Belichick tree, them coaches will go on, but they go places they don't never win shit. Yeah, they don't win shit, man. You know what they win? Big fat contracts to be shitty. And sometimes they'll end up back with the Patriots or end up as a coordinator on another team. Remember that Charlie Weiss dude? The Notre Dame did okay there. Then they're like, get the fuck out of here. You're trash. Romeo Crennel has coached at least 3-4 different teams. Isn't Saban, Nick Saban, isn't he from the Belichick tree, I think? Well, he's over there living the life in Alabama. Why in the fuck would he want to leave Alabama? Making all this money. Right, expense accounts the whole fucking nine. Hold on. Yeah. But I think that Parcells saw what he had in Belichick. But resented him because he was getting some of the pub. You know? But that's how it is with guys like him. Those guys got the big ass egos, and they don't. They want to be the person. I mean, Parcells has got all the accolades now at this point. Super Bowls, got the yellow Hoffa jacket. I mean, Belichick's gonna get that. Belichick's, I think, got the most Super Bowls as a head coach. The real question, though, is what is he gonna do after now that TB12 is gone? Now we're gonna see. If that motherfucker goes out, puts another quarterback in, and wins a Super Bowl, you're gonna have to accept it. He might be the go-to coaches. Yeah. Because I've said it to my wife before. I'm a lightweight. I was kind of a lightweight Patriots fan. I think I'm a lightweight Belichick fan. People talk about him cheating and all this shit, and I didn't cheat, man. He takes a look at the rules and he makes some adjustments. Hey man, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But you could be ending a podcast like I am. Sarcastically speaking about sports, but actually stuff. Good night.
Headhunter, son.